Welcome to South by Southwest.
And welcome to the first panel of South by Southwest.
The only panel.
The only panel worth going to, right?
Yeah.
My name is Ed Hunsinger. I am the CEO of Free For All Media Incorporated, which is basically a douchey way of saying I do my own stunts.
Douchebag.
I'm also a fire artist with a group called Interpretive Arson and a software engineer at Splunk. And my credentials for talking about douchebaggery are I've been around a lot of them in the tech scene. And I will let the other panelists here introduce themselves. So first up, we've got John Adams.
Hey, it's me. Hi, I'm John Adams. I am an ops engineer at Twitter. I spend a lot of time dealing with things like trust and safety and security issues. And when I'm not doing that, I spend a lot of time in the entertainment scene in San Francisco, working at places like DNA Lounge and doing shows and bookings. And the credentials for talking about douchebaggery? I don't know. Maybe I am one.
Hi, I'm Scott Beal. I run a website called Laughing Squid. It's an art, culture, and technology blog, and also a web hosting company. And credentials, I don't know.
Scott and Scott, it's okay.
I am Amber Osborne, otherwise known as Ms. Destructo on Twitter. I run a company, a social media company, called Head of Lettuce Media, and douchebaggery credentials?
Look at the
hair. Well, I'm female, so I run into a lot of them, especially at events like this. So, yeah.
All right, first off, how many people are here at South by Southwest for the first time? Show of hands.
Oh, awesome. Wow. Look at that.
All right. That's incredible. How many are returning? This is their second year. Second year?
Third Hello,
year?
Sophomores.
Third? Fourth?
Wow.
Any fourth?
More than four. Word.
Nice. All right. Well, then a lot of this material will probably be familiar with you, but it's always a good refresher at the beginning. First up, let's talk about it. What is a tech douchebag? There's a number of different kinds of douchebags and all sorts of different scenes, but the one we're focusing on here is the tech and South by Southwest douchebag. So chime in on what do you think a tech douchebag, the qualities
of
being one?
It has to do with rudeness. I mean, being courteous, right? There's someone you want to meet that you know online, but they're talking to someone, don't just jump in there with your business card and your pitch, you know, that kind of thing, because that happens a lot.
Yeah, I call it don't being a pitch. I have a whole motto, don't be a pitch, because I run into a lot, you know, you get the drive-by shooting of the guy flying business cards at your face, so don't be that guy.
Yeah, I think often, can we get some more volume on the mics? I think it'll be nice and loud, maybe.
Sound.
Yeah, I used to run sound. But, so I think another thing that happens a lot is you run into someone at an event or you know you're trying to get into let's say you know one of the more kind of closed off parties and the way that people introduce each other is that rather than being human and talking first is that they look at your badge and they're like oh you're with that company maybe I can get something there so you know look people in the eye first try to say hi and introduce yourself just. Be friendly and be human. You know, the reason that we're all here is to connect and to network and be together socially. And you know, you have to look past where they work.
Yeah, I like to call that badge surfing. So if somebody's walking up to meet you and they're staring at your badge rather than you in the face, yeah. Then it's a bit of a warning sign that it might be a douchebag.
Yeah, I think for once maybe men get to feel what it's like to be a woman.
Or you could just wear your badge on your head.
Yeah.
I still don't know if they're staring at my badge or not.
So first up, you know, well, I guess there were some parties last night. It always starts a little bit early. But panels are the first interaction with South by Southwest people are coming to today. So what are some of the things not to do at panels to avoid being a
douchebag?
Don't
yell free bird at any time.
Yeah, no free bird.
No free bird encores.
No cell phones.
Yes, turn off your cell phone, mute it for probably most of the week, unless it's at parties, but even then you probably won't hear it.
Mm. You can use Twitter. We'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
Plug. See, that was douchey.
That was pretty douchey. Yes. You're already past the company dropping
panel.
Point.
Yes.
So, one of the big things that, so unless you're on a panel, the exposure that you'll have to other people is when you're asking questions. So at the end of this panel, we'll have a QA, and most panels have a Q&A. So what are some of the things that you guys have seen during the QA session where it's you roll your eyes at them and you go, wow, there's a douchebag on the mic.
You mean like where the first 5 minutes is them explaining and pitching their company before they ask the questions?
Yeah, don't do that.
That's one.
Yeah. And I'd say the other one is asking us 16 questions, completely unrelated.
Or the one-uppers, the one that always says, oh, yeah, well, I did this. That's what I did. Much better than you. And you always get those with the questions and the answers.
It's like comments.
Yeah.
On blog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got the first.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, standing up to the microphone saying first.
First. Now someone's going to do that.
Yeah. Right, right, yeah. So, yeah, who's going to be the first? So say, you know, say if a panel's not going well, is it cool to leave a panel?
I always have a very strong opinion about this when I'm at other tech conferences, and I think that the rule about South by Southwest, and this goes all the way from interactive to film and music, is that the strongest thing you can do is vote with your feet. You know, there's too much going on at once. There's multiple tracks at the conference and multiple places where you can be. And if you're not getting something out of that event that you're in, really, leave. It's okay. You're not going to offend the panelists. The thing is that, you know, you're going to find something that's maybe better for you, or, you know, even better to clear that spot for someone else to come in and learn.
Well, and also with South by, the other panels are all there's on top of each other. It's like, I don't know how many tracks are simultaneous.
Well, I think there's also a simultaneous douchebag panel as well, right?
Yeah, this is not the only douchebag panel.
There's a marketing douchebag. Sorry, there's a marketing douchebag panel going on. So yeah.
So, yeah. But when you're getting up, the douchebag leaves by loudly packing up his laptop, you know, shuffling around, yeah. You know, walking through an entire aisle. Oh, excuse me. Get up and leave quietly, and also do it discreetly. Last year, I was at a panel. I don't even remember what the panel was, but it was kind of boring. And so me and a friend we happened to be sitting in the front row, and we were like, we need to get out of this. There's something better we can be doing with our time. And so we tried to get up quietly and walk out, and then we turned around, and it turned out there was 2 dozen people had followed us out of the panel.
The first one.
Yeah.
The mass follow.
So if you see other people leaving, try not to form a crowd. Even if the panel sucks, it's...
If you hate us, leave discreetly.
Yes. So with panels, a lot of the people that you'll want to talk to are on panels. You know, maybe it's for business reasons or technology, or you just want to meet them in person for the first time. You've seen them online and you haven't actually chatted with them. What are some of the best ways to approach people without being a douchebag after the panel?
That's a good one. You know, I think being orderly, forming a line, and not mobbing them as they exit. It's kind of hard here because we have so many people at South by this year, but. You know, introducing yourself again as a friend and casually swapping business cards when the time is right, and not trying to just hammer a business card into their hand as you're rushing out of the room.
Yeah, and then maybe what happens a lot too, if you've met them in the past, maybe give context. I mean, that's kind of maybe getting to a different topic.
Yeah, I think,
you know, maybe because, you know, it's people meet so many people, even with social networks and stuff, it's harder to remember everyone. So give them context for how you might know them.
Yeah, you know, and I'd also say one thing that probably I'm not as good at this as I would like to be is that if you've gone through the trouble of doing a contact exchange with someone, it's, you know, it's a very personal thing. You've exchanged information. Make sure you follow up with them, and, you know, you don't have that ever-ending, like, stack of business cards post South by Southwest for the people you never talk to. It's, you know, people are not baseball cards. So
some
people are baseball cards. Actually, you have a baseball card, don't you?
Yes.
But you get one from her later.
Yeah, and generally providing context immediately. Say, hi, so-and-so, I am so-and-so. We met last year at X party, Y panel. And the follow-up, you know, reiterating that, saying, you know, your douchebag panel was great.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a way to form a stronger bond with the people that you're going to meet for a very short amount of time.
So speaking of business cards, business card etiquette. Everybody loves business cards, it seems, at South by Southwest, and everybody has a different way of doing it. You'll probably see fancy cards, plain cards, moo cards, bumping your iPhone to exchange contacts, going past the card. What are the non-douchey ways to exchange information at South by Southwest?
Or not even use a business card, right?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I hate business cards. But it's an unfortunate thing. We don't have a decent solution yet that allows people to exchange contact information in a universal way that everyone can use. You know, paper and pen still work extremely well.
I was insane. Also, I mean, sometimes just reply, you know, or mentioning them on Twitter and saying it was great meeting. Because then you see that, I don't know, because you get all the business cards when you get home.
Yeah.
But sometimes that.
Yeah, the other thing that helps too is, you know, kind of general things, like just put a note on the card that says where you met and what happened. You know, being able to remember where you met people and you have some context to begin a conversation about what you really want to talk about, which might be what you're working on or your startup is or whatnot. But, you know, that can kind of come a little later afterwards.
Yeah, I think one of the best things to do, especially when you're giving out business cards, is to not just talk about your business card for, you know, 20, 30 minutes while the other person is standing there wanting to give you, you know, their business card. It's just listening and making sure that you understand what they do and then following up with them. What I usually do is just being like, hey, that's great. Follow up with me on Twitter. Please tweet me that I met you as well, because sometimes in the whole Twitter sphere, you do this a lot. You're like, who are you? Because you kind of recognize them, but you're really not sure if you've seen this person before. So especially at large events, make sure that, you know, they contact you afterwards and you're not like, oh yeah, I know you, but you don't. It's just rude.
Yeah, one of the big things is following people on Twitter. Most people pick up a large number of followers just from meeting people at parties and stuff. So providing context, you know, when you start following somebody saying at so and so, hey, it was great meeting you at X party. So the next morning when they wake up and wonder why they've had a 50 follower increase or 200 follower increase, they kind of know where it's coming from. Marketing. This is going to be, I think, kind of Amber's strong point. Marketing can kind of be a douchebag warning signal, because there are a lot of marketers that are douchebags, but not all of them are. There are right ways to do it. And Amber, if you want to speak on that?
Yeah, pretty much the best way to market yourself and not be a douchebag is to be genuine. Don't just be your company. Be a person first and make sure that you find some way to connect other than what your business does. You could see somebody with cool colored hair or shoes that you like or something on their t-shirt that's witty. Connect with them in any other way than, hey, I do this, you do this. You know, you want to make sure that you market yourself, and you also help market the other person, because you got to make sure that the other person wants, you know, the other person wants airtime as much as you do.
And, you know, so what I've been doing for years is stickers. Stickers are great, you know, for future years, because, I mean, especially if it's something people want and, like, you know, like put them on their laptops and stuff, you know, and it's so easy to carry stickers. It's not like, I mean, t-shirts are a little harder to carry all the sizes around, but vinyl stickers are awesome.
I admit I was a little bit fanboyish earlier when he gave me his laughing squid sticker.
So I have some too at the end if you guys want.
Yeah, those polls outside of the convention center are not going to cover themselves.
All right, so probably the reason why a lot of you are here, the parties. This is where, you know, after a few drinks, the douchebaggery gets turned up a notch, sometimes to 11. So depending on the party you're at, you may encounter a lot of them or only a few. So I guess, what are some of the things that you guys have seen at, you know, in South by parties as well as other conference parties in the tech scene that...
I hate to say this, but, you know, drinking to excess in a professional context, I think that there's a reasonable level, and I know we probably all crossed it at least once. But the thing is that when you just kind of turn to this machine, you're like, business card, business card, business card. And you're trying to connect with people, and you're probably not going to remember them the next day. So try to, you know, take it easy. If you're out there in a professional context and you're trying to connect with people, you might want to be a little more sober.
Well, and the drunk tweeting goes with that.
Yeah, drunk
too,
tweeting is bad.
Always just you know, think twice before hitting send.
Have you ever? There's a filter on Google for Google Goggles. So you get the you have to type in the math equation before you send an email. Right. Sometimes that works. You can't add numbers together. Don't take contact information.
I think the best thing that I see at parties is the guy who shows up to the sponsored party. And he's just standing there, and he's talking with a big group of people, and he's got his free beer in the hand. He's got his free T-shirt, and he's like, this party's horrible. Yeah. Come on, dude.
Yeah. That same goes for food.
Yeah.
This free food sucks.
Well, the tough thing, that's this year, I mean, especially, it's the lines, right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many parties that if the line's obnoxiously long and stuff, just, you know, so Foursquare and Goala are great for if people are doing their job, they're going to check in and actually say, you know, this party's not too crowded yet, or, you know, we're going to go here instead, or, you know, so it's, you know, a really good thing.
Yeah, and that's actually a really, really good point, is that you can use various social networking services to kind of gauge the level of the party and how many people are there. But the other thing that you learn the hard way, and you maybe learn this after your first or second year at South by Southwest, is do not chase the party. If you make your way into a venue with a number of people, use that admission to your advantage. Go around, talk to the people that are there, reach out. If you spend all night waiting in line and trying to go from place to place, you're just not going to have a good experience.
Yeah, and if you try to cut line or go up to the door and are like, you know, don't you know who I am? You know, I've got 14,000 Twitter followers. You know, I should be in this party tweeting
about
it.
No one cares.
Yeah, well, you are that douchebag.
The tough thing is this, it's gotten so big now that most parties have a VIP line. That's just the way it is. And, you know, it's a tough thing because they've all gone that way so they can get all, just to get their employees and close friends.
Yeah.
Also, if somebody famous in the community or famous shows up, do not say that, hey, they're here. Because what is going to happen is you're going to get 20,000 people at this nice little party that was nice and calm before you tweeted that out.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of goes to, like, respect other people's locational privacy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if they didn't check in on Foursquare or Goala or anything like that, don't check them in by yourself on Twitter.
Or Facebook.
Facebook.
That's true.
So, speaking on all the social sharing networks and the location base and Twitter and everything, at South by Southwest, it's a huge thing. How do douchebags abuse these systems, and what should you do or should not do to avoid getting labeled a social media douchebag?
Ooh. I guess I have to take that one. I think repetitive spamming of any service, no matter what it is, of what you're currently doing, if you are every 5 minutes posting a tweet or posting to Facebook, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, look at me, look at me, look at me, that is really unacceptable behavior. You know, try to reduce that. I mean, yeah, there's check-ins on Foursquare, but, you know, at least then you're only really posting the status of where you're at. On services like Facebook and Twitter, if you continually send the same message over and over and over again, your followers are not going to enjoy that, and probably at some point, the people who run the services are not going to like it either.
Well, now also to that point too, it's easy to forget that, you know, a lot of people who are following you aren't here and maybe don't want to hear so much about South by, and they could sort by hashtags. They don't always do that, but, you know, so that's why I think things like Foursquare and Goala are good to your network, because you can do a shout too on those that are kind of like a tweet. In the old days, like in 2007, everybody was on Twitter, so when we put stuff on Twitter, like, we were all here, but it's not the case anymore.
And if you're gonna do the Foursquare bombing, at least make it interesting for your friends. The other day I checked into I Like Turtles.
Right.
So at least make it fun.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, but don't make up too fake of venues. It's not funny when you check into Cindy.
You are the mayor of Cindy.
Yeah.
So, and I guess this kind of speaks to Scott's expertise, photography. So when you're checking in here and you're posting to Twitter, almost all of us have phones with cameras on them, or we have a camera in the pocket. So a lot of South By is documented. How do you avoid being documenting as a douchebag?
I think, sir, like, any type of covert photography is a very bad idea. And you're sneaking up on someone going, oh, I'm just going to get this one shot. And you didn't ask permission.
So people I've known for years, I still ask, like Steve Garfield. You know, I'll go up and say, because, you know, maybe they're just not in the mood for it, you know. And also, I mean, it's probably pretty common now that, you know, show them, get the approval, first right of refusal, whatever.
Yeah, you know. I don't know if the guy's here, but yesterday I was in the badge line, and somebody tweeted a picture of me from the other badge line saying, Mrs. Structo.
What?
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And I guess you talk about video too. I guess it's all.
Yeah, I think video is the same, but you know, it's very hard if you're shooting your main subject and you get someone in the background. That's just what happens. But sneaking up on someone with a video camera is just never a good idea. No one likes to get jumped by a blogger/reporter person with another guy with a camera. I'm looking at you, Eddie. Where are you?
Oh, actually, one other thing to touch on the social sharing and checking in. A lot of people will link all the different accounts. So if you check into Twitter, it'll go to, or if you check into Foursquare, it'll go to your Twitter, it'll go to your Facebook. You can also check into Goala. And if you have a lot of the same friends following all of these services, they're going to get very sick of that very quickly, yep. especially if they're not here. So what I like to do is reduce the number of cross-posting. Like, for me personally, I find that most of the time a Twitter cross-post to Facebook is fine because I've got friends on both services. I actually don't broadcast any of my location stuff. It stays, you know, on Foursquare or Gowalla or wherever. How do you guys generally approach the cross check-ins, or like when you show up to a venue, do you check into multiple places or just one? Or
I mean, I think last year I tried doing Gowalla and Foursquare at the same time, and it became just incredibly irritating to do both. I don't cross-post. I will frequently go to the services when I'm about to leave for South by Southwest, and I will go in and disable all of my cross-posting. So I will turn off like Twitter to Foursquare. Twitter to Facebook, Foursquare to Twitter. I will turn those things off because occasionally, if I'm back in my home city, yeah, maybe I check in once or twice a day. It's like, okay, I'm at work and now I'm at the club. But if I'm here, yeah. So that's all I do, right? but if you know, once I've reached South by, I'm going to disable a number of those connections because my message rate is going to go to the moon as I wander around the city.
Yeah, one thing I like to do is warn everybody that's not here and say, hey, my amount of tweeting is going to go up significantly. I am not going to be offended if you unfollow me for the next week or two. And maybe you'll forget to refollow me, but whatever.
Not a friend. not a friend.
Yeah.
Anything else to add? Let's see, what else was there? So when you're talking with people, this is a tech conference. Everybody has knowledge in some arena, whether it's, you know, a certain programming language or software or marketing or business. One of the things that I see a lot, if you guys want to talk on this, is people pretending to be the best they are, the best in that field.
Yeah. I think there's always someone better than you that you can learn from.
And I'd be humble, right?
Yeah, be humble. I mean, there is so much that I'm sure the people in the audience know that I don't know that I'd love to learn from you, but this is not enough time. You know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, be humble and be open.
Another thing is, even though you're the best, you started somewhere. So just remember those other people that are just starting, you know, and kind of mentor them if you can.
Yeah, I mean, you sucked at one point.
Exactly.
Yeah, one other thing I see a lot, I can't remember who came up with the term or where I heard it first, but male answer syndrome, and it actually applies to both genders now a lot in the tech industry, mansplaining.
Mansplaining.
Where it's where you'll be talking with men, with talking with a female a lot of times will be like, assuming they don't know what you're talking about, but there are some women here that are incredibly smart and probably smarter than a lot of us, when I say guys. Don't, you know, look down on them, as that commonly happens in the tech industry.
Yeah, we definitely need more women in tech.
Yeah,
help them out.
I've had some very interesting experiences with this. I love the guy that comes up to you and is like, "Oh, hey, yeah, I do this, this, and this, and so my company," and just really macho and says, "Oh, yeah, what do? You musician?" And I'm like, "No. Actually, I could hire you." So don't ever judge.
Actually, another thing kind of related to that, I think, you know, like, there'll be a lot of people that know each other online or well-known online, I should say, and then, you know, maybe include those other people maybe want to be in the conversation or introduce yourself, bring them in, because a lot of, you know, maybe someone will be curiously waiting to sort of engage, but then the circle never opens up, you know, so that's, it's hard to do that because you're catching up with your friends, but...
Yeah, another thing is if you're talking with somebody that you know somebody wants to meet, introduce them.
Yeah.
If there's somebody behind you, you know, seeing that, you know, they want to talk to the person you're talking to, bring them into the circle.
Yeah, it's even better, right? If you do that and then you've made this intro to someone versus them going up, you know, then it's, and if you're friends with the person you're introing to, it's even better.
Yeah,
it's
I'd also say that sometimes, you know, sometimes it kind of helps to just look the other way and approach someone nicely and just be like, "Hey, what's going on? I'm so-and-so from here." And, you know, just getting to the point where you reach out, you sort of get past your own shyness. And that might be the difference between you meeting someone who can really help you in the future and be a great friend to you having a bad experience.
All right. So we're talking a lot about the interaction between, you know, South by attendees, you know, with each other. But there is one big element here is Austin and the local community here, the restaurants, the people that work here. And we have a huge impact here. And how do you guys think best that we lessen our impact, our negative impact here, and increase our positive influence?
Don't have egos with the hotel staff. Because this is what I'm hearing a lot from valets. They're like, yeah, some guy, you know, of course we know who he is, but they don't. And, you know, we don't care, and they don't care either. So just be nice. Be nice to everybody and tip well.
I think that's the big thing is tip well. A lot of these people are working multiple shifts and are getting very frustrated by a lot of people that aren't and a lot of people that are rude. And you can help compensate for all of us and help increase the profile of South by Southwest with the Austin community.
Yeah, there's a very old and really wonderful Henry Rollins quote about this. You probably know what it is. So to poorly paraphrase him, it's something to the effect of, you know, don't be a dick to the roadies. Don't be a dick to the people who are working in the venue that you're about to play at. They were here long before you were, and they will be here long after you leave, and they don't care who you are. And that's just such sage advice. You know, there are people that after you leave, they're going to clean up after you, you know. And they're more important to keeping the structure of the conference going than any ego anyone could have.
Yeah, and that goes equally for the South by volunteers. There are a great number of people here that are working the event. You're going to be asking them a lot of questions when you can't find that one conference room. So be nice to them and treat them well.
Yeah, and they're working really hard. So give a round of applause for the South by Southwest volunteers. Yeah, thank you guys. I mean, we provide the content, and without the mics working, no one hears us.
we're really blasting through this. Yeah. So apparently, not getting enough material for your panel is a douchebag move.
That's a douchebag move. Well. When you don't have enough material, you can always go to the audience.
Last year I did this talk, and it was a core conversation, and it worked out really well because we got a lot of input from people in different stories. So actually, I mean, do you guys have anything else to add, or should we just go ahead and open it up to some Q&A and some experience-based, this is a douchebag I saw?
One thing I want to add, if I have to hear one more person in a conversation say winning, or I'm drinking tiger's blood right now.
Yeah.
We almost made it all the way without saying winning.
Almost.
Thanks.
But I had to be the douchebag.
All right, well, yeah, so if anybody has any questions or experiences.
First. Oh, damn it.
You win a douchebag.
Well, now that that's out of the way.
No one, really?
The mics are in the center.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sorry. The mic is in the center, or just yell it out.
Oh, hey.
Steve Garfield.
Mike, please. Douchebag.
It's Everybody. Steve Garfield.
Hello, check 1, 2.
Check.
Hello.
You don't need a mic.
Okay, so anyways, I just got a tweet from Zane sitting in the front row. Where are you? Okay. and so now she's using the hashtag SXSWI and SXXSW.
Oh, God,
so,
yeah.
You know, I walked by the Samsung big huge TV, and it says we're showing tweets with SXSWI, and I wasn't using I.
Well, that's kind of picky,
right? So now what do we do?
And then there's
Are you saying what do you do if you want to be famous and be on the Samsung board?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tweet only hashtags. Just add pure hashtags, no content.
Just hashtags.
That will get you on. So got louder.
Didn't you say you saw somebody that had filled the
yeah,
TV?
I saw a post while walking to get my badge that was 140 characters of pound SXSW over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's like full.
Yeah.
Apparently that tweet did make it to the board. Thank you, Samsung.
Is that a
question? I see someone
in the back?
Coming.
The long walk to the mic.
Cut off.
Bag move.
For the win.
Okay, so this is, you said win.
Winning.
This is a different type of party question. So I'm not going to the parties and I don't drink, but I still want to have the social interaction and learn from people. So I was just wondering, as veterans, if you have any tips or good ways to social network or social events that aren't around drinking and
So every conference I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot, everything from, you know, O'Reilly conferences, South By, whatnot, I think one of the coolest parts of the entire conference is what I like to call the hallway track. So you're walking down the hall, you meet someone. I don't think too many people are drinking during the day, although I did see them preparing an entire bar at 8 a.m., which kind of blew my mind. Provided you're not drinking at 8 in the morning out in the ACC, you can meet people in the hallway. You know, sit down next to them. Maybe they're on their laptop, or maybe... actually, you know what? A really cool thing I saw provided this year, they had power strips plugged into the wall, but I've made a lot of friends by bringing a power strip to a conference.
Right.
Just an idea.
So we just call it LobbyCon, too.
Yeah.
But also, another is... Austin has amazing food and all the lunches and everything. And I mean, I will have like no agenda when I get to the convention center, and I know I'll just run into people and then, you know, go on some random tangent for great food somewhere. And it's always a different mix. So I just kind of like let the serendipity take me through the chaos.
I just start following random people around synergy. The conference and that find out where too. They're going. New friends.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways to find something new and different to go to. Barbecue is a great way to meet people.
Yep. Barbecue is good. What's up?
Hey, what's like the thing you guys did when you guys started out that you wish someone had told you were being a douchebag when you were doing?
That's a good question.
Like your first South By, right?
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Actually, I have an example today. So this might have been acceptable years ago, but there was a guy in the hotel when I was going to the elevator, and he had his laptop out with a little EVDO card and just was staring at it all the way through the entire hotel ride, all the way down in the lobby, ignoring everybody else. You know, it was just incredibly rude. I mean, way back when we kind of did that a little bit because we didn't have smartphones and other things. But now, I don't know. You know.
Yeah. I think the other example we were talking about was if you're on your cell phone and you walk into an elevator, this is an amazing feat of physics. An elevator is a Faraday cage. Signals do not travel through an elevator, and your phone will not work anymore because it's a giant metal box.
So the cash.
Hang up before you get in the elevator, please.
Oh, the phone.
The phone, yeah.
Still looking.
Oh, yeah, and it's not going to work. You can still read cash. It, but you're not going to get any data.
If you RSVP to a party, don't show up 2 hours late in a police van.
Yeah.
Was this personal experience?
No. Maybe.
Yeah, so being nose deep in your phone or your laptop or iPad all the time.
Front row. Front row, I call you out.
It's advertising. Okay, right.
That's good.
So it's one of those things. I mean, we all do it. It's a big thing here, so it's generally acceptable. So you'll see a lot of people in sitting in panels on a laptop or iPhone or Android or whatever. Sometimes they're taking notes or looking up, you know, Twitter accounts or whatnot. Other times they're doing their work email and they're just looking for a place to sit. But you know, as long as you know, and that's fine, it's accepted. As long as you're doing that without being obnoxious, turn the sound off on your laptop before you load up that cat video on YouTube. But also keep in mind, though, as you know, while you're doing that, you're missing out on opportunities to connect with people. Mm-hmm. So as you're walking down the hall of the conference center, trying desperately to check in to the ACC while the wireless isn't working or 3G is down, you're missing out on conversations, and you know you'll pass by people that you could be talking to.
Yeah, and you know sometimes it's if you're coming to a panel or any type of discussion, it might benefit you much to just turn off the electronics and listen for a while because there's a lot that's going on. It's okay. Don't look self-conscious. I understand. But sometimes, you know, you're going to miss out on what's going on.
Because you're talking, John.
I'm talking now.
And a lot of times, too, I mean, it's, you know, when you're contacting people, too, I don't necessarily, I'm constantly checking my email and everything to see everyone asking me where I am and that sort of thing. And so I think we have pretty good tools for that. So, you know, or they're like texting during the party, you know, because it's kind of hard to keep up with that, especially if you're engaging with people IRL, you know, that kind of thing. So, right.
Oh, that's right next to Cindy.
Man.
Right next to Cindy. Oh.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm a little nervous, sorry.
No,
oh, that's
it's okay.
Fine.
So
the microphone will not eat you.
I wanted to start off by saying my name is Baldwin, and My Twitter handle is Bald Winner, and that was before Charlie Sheen.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
So everyone thinks I'm a douchebag for that anyway.
Yeah, you have Alec Baldwin and Charlie Sheen.
Exactly.
That's unfortunate.
I just wanted to talk about the whole badge thing. So I see myself looking at badges before I meet people to look at their location more than anything.
Oh, okay.
I met like 5 people from Connecticut. That's where I'm from, and I feel like that's just another way to connect. You know,
that's a really good like kind of edge case to the rule. Like, where do you live?
I live in Austin now, but I moved here from Connecticut 4 months ago.
Oh,
so
great.
Manchester, Connecticut.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for teaching me how to not be a douchebag.
Yeah, so yeah, quick glances at badges, you know, for informational purposes, such as, you know, a person's name. Like, a lot of times at parties, I'll do that just because I can't hear. But, like, looking for a badge, like, oh, what company they work for?
That's, yeah, I mean, not looking at to see if you should talk to that person. Yeah. But, I mean, I'll look to just maybe get the context of, like, how do I remember this person if there's a company name or something, you know?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Oh. Should we ask each other questions?
Yeah. Well, wait, one more. Do that.
Yep, we got one coming.
I'll use the mic just for fun.
Sure.
Hey, I'm Mario. My question is, what's your best exit strategy when you find yourself talking to somebody who you know is a douchebag?
Oh, that's an awesome question.
That's a great question.
That's awesome. I need to go get a beer. My beer's empty. Oh, no, I just dumped it on the floor.
Oh, my server just went down. Sorry, I gotta go. Works every time.
says the man that runs a hosting
Twitter,
company.
Twitter's
not,
broken,
I mean,
I
my friend's
server.
Not my server.
Your friend's server. Right.
My parole officer just walked in.
Nice.
Introducing them to somebody else.
Oh, that's the misdirection.
If you like, can find two douchebags at a party and you connect them.
Passing a douche.
So this is this is where we move from how not to be a douchebag to how to be an effective social engineer.
Yeah. Speaking of social engineering, this is a topic that came up last year at this, dealing with lines at parties. So, you know, there's always lines and stuff.
Yeah.
But there are ways to get into parties that are not douchebag moves. So working the system to your advantage, social engineering things, I like to keep a rule of... as long as it's not hurting somebody in some way. So most of these parties are free and you're not paying anything for it. And nobody's, you know, expecting money for you from it. So maybe there's a back door that's open. Maybe you're helping somebody in. You know, doing something positive to get into a party.
I hear a milk crate with an extension cord and a clipboard works all the time.
But name dropping shouldn't work.
Yeah. Like, oh, I know Robert Scoble does not get you in a party. No. He'll actually get kicked out of a party. Which we should talk about.
Yes. So last year, and I've got a few of them left this year if you guys want them, I had pins made that say douchebag and not a douchebag. So you can wear, you know, whichever one you think is appropriate. And so I ran into Robert Scoble in the Hilton lobby at like 3 a.m. in the morning and asked him which one he wanted. And so he's like, oh, I should probably take the douchebag one. But this year, somebody has stepped it up. So rather than the pin as a warning sign, there's an app that will help you. I guess, Scott, do you want to?
Right. It's ScobleInThisRoom.com. And you have to opt in for your location information. And it's a single serving app. And it will basically tell you if Robert is or is not in at the party you're at or whatever.
Is he in here?
Is he in here?
It says almost certainly not right now.
So. If you shake the phone, does it say try again later?
He's probably in the Hilton lobby tonight.
Yeah, keep an eye on the Hilton.
The revolving door. Yes.
Hey. Hi, I'm Brandon Probinski. A lot of people come to these events to network, right, because of business opportunities.
Absolutely.
What's the best way to do that so that you stand out from everybody else without pushing it too far?
Some kind of furry costume will help.
Yeah.
Dye your hair.
There used to be the podcast pickle. Most of you guys weren't around long enough, but there was this guy who was the podcast pickle, and he would stand out in front of the convention center all day, and everybody hated him. And then finally, our friend showed up as some annoying panda to harass him the following year. So,
yeah.
But I'm not advocating that.
Have colored hair or no hair.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, probably on a more serious note, the way that you differentiate yourself is to go out there and be genuine and be nice to these people. And I think that's a lot of what we've been getting at, is that
what's going to stand out in someone's mind is, wow, you know, this guy treated me very badly, or this guy's a jerk, and your business card is going to get thrown away almost immediately. But if you reach out and talk to that person and connect to them in a human way, you're probably going to have a lasting business contact that you can go back to and maybe do some real work with.
Yeah, I always call it more of the organic approach. Just kind of let it be natural, because I mean, that's how so many people I've met. And maybe it doesn't happen this year, or it happens in at a follow-up thing or something, but you met up at the last thing and kind of just evolves, you know.
Yeah, I think humans have a very effective and functional bullshit detector.
Oh, yeah.
And they will probably see right through you.
Yeah, one of the things that I try to remember is MEM. It's manners. You know, watch your manners. You know, just general good advice. Entitlement. So watch out whether you start to act like you're entitled to something. You know?
I think that's the central problem. Yeah. I think maybe if we were not using the word douchebag, we use douchebag because it's funny, but we say don't act entitled.
Yeah. And then motivation. Check your motivation. You say, why am I going up to talk to this person? Am I just trying to, you know, get $1,000 from him, or am I trying to make a connection that, you know, we'll go out and have fun at a party? You know, check your motivation, and it can be business related. That's totally valid motivation, but make sure it's not trying to screw somebody over.
I really think the best thing to do is just to help each other. If you see somebody sit in the hallway, they look lonely. You know, you're going out to a party or something. Just invite them along with you. If you see somebody, like I said, wants to go talk to somebody famous or cool, and you're talking to them, just, you know, say, hey, come and talk with us, and just help, you know, help everybody out. You never know who that person might be.
Yeah. I just to add to that, I would say, if you have just met someone a few moments ago that may have one interest, and you meet someone a few minutes later, acting as a connector between those two is very valuable. You know, you increase the sort of strength of your real-life social network, not some online social network, but you increase the strength of your friendship with those people, and you get people together, and that's very valuable. I've had people, when I've been at, like, let's say, Ginger Man or something, or everyone's talking, exchanging cards, someone goes, no, you really need to meet this person because they're working in this field that you're working in, and so you have a common ground, and that makes the entire South By social system work. Okay.
Anyone else?
Any other questions?
No good stories?
No good stories.
I know some of you guys that have been here for, you know, more than at least a year have got to have some stories out there.
Yeah. Does anyone have a story where they encountered someone they thought was a douchebag, and how did you deal with that person? Like, that's probably a good one to share if anyone has that. No?
Maybe there are no douchebags here.
Wait. We're trying to keep this a little interactive.
Oh, yeah. I had a very, very good friend who whenever he encountered a douchebag and they'd walk up to him and ask what he did for a living, he'd say that he was an undertaker.
Fantastic.
And convinced that he had knew absolutely nothing about what they were talking about. But then we'd talk about burying bodies for the next 6 minutes. And it never failed that it always cleared the space, or if the person wanted to talk about that, usually that they were actually interesting in some way.
Right. Yeah, I usually tell people I'm in S&M. And then I'm like, no, social media.
I had no idea.
And they're like, oh, that, you know, you find the interesting people that way.
Different conference.
Yeah, the question of, so what do you do, is asked a lot. So it's a very open-ended question. And then, like, deciding what to say, you know, so like, a lot of us are involved in multiple arenas. So it's like when I meet somebody, it's like, well, what do you do? It's like, well, I do websites, I do programming, I do fire art, I just, you know, do pranks. Like, judging what to say to that person, you know, it's not always your job. I mean, if you're like, oh, I'm so-and-so with such-and-such company, think about whether or not you actually want that to be your identity.
Yeah, there is life outside of work, hopefully.
Nope. Another question there?
I've never been to a conference where it was actually preceded by a panel that had to
Can you use the mic, please?
That's true.
I'm going to get kind of philosophical. Yep. But so I've never been to a conference that actually had a panel before the conference on manners. So what is it about this conference that makes something like this necessary?
You're going to find out.
Yeah, you're going to find out.
I live here, and I think I already know. I want you to answer the question. I'm a journalist.
Rhetorical question. I would say that the duration of the conference, the level of interaction that you have with people, most of the time when you go to sort of a technical or business conference, it is, we are all stuck in the same hotel, and now we're all going to the same 10 panels, and the panels are over. And now there's a corporate-sponsored party, and I'm back in my room feeling lonely. And I think what happens here is that since we're crossing so many different aspects about what people are interested in, we're going from technology to entertainment to music, and it's more, I wouldn't say a lifestyle conference, but since there's so many different aspects of people that were that are being touched by this conference, that it tends to go a little deeper into people's psyche. And also, the volumes of alcohol do not help. That being said, I like booze. But
I also think that some of it is, a lot of times, money and douchebaggery go hand in hand. And there is a lot of money in the tech industry. And there are people walking around here that are worth multiple figures. And sometimes that can get to their head, and they forget that once...
Two figures.
You know, once they were, you know, in the same place as everybody else, and, you know, starting out from the ground up in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah.
Thanks. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Oh, one more.
Hi. I find sometimes at conferences like this, you end up in conversations with people and they talk about acronyms and a lot of stuff you don't know about. And you'll start going, oh, yeah, that's really interesting. But really, you don't know what they're talking about at all. Mm-hmm. And so is it more sort of douchebaggery just to go, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I know what that's great. I'm really interested in that too. Or is it...
Yeah, don't always talk about your API.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think maybe by by nodding and listening, you probably do yourself a disservice as well. I mean, you could stop and say, look, I don't understand what you're talking about. Let's talk about that. And seriously, it's like you are both there. You're both here to learn. So if you don't understand something, just stop someone, take a step back. And I guarantee you that most people will be very happy to explain things to you.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's their passion. It's just like if they get a chance to explain it to somebody rather than, you know, having somebody assume that you know it, it's a great chance for them to, like, you know, step back and say, you know,
yeah, I would say I probably regret the number of times that I did not say I don't know.
Yeah. It's a very unfocused conference, right? It's not about one thing. It's not even really about tech.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
If you're at a microphone answering a question, should you wait till they've finished answering your question?
Well, you can always say thank you, and I'll take my question seated. You know,
okay.
Either way, I'll take my answer seated rather.
If there's a line, a lot of times, yeah, it'll be. I've seen people ask a question and sit down so that you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks.
You may be seated.
John, thanks for the point about like not understanding something and not being afraid to ask, because the times, just to share stories, the times that I haven't understood what someone's talking about or whatever, and I've asked, like, I have no idea what that is, what site that is, what product that is. I know it probably something I should know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sometimes
I've had of the best conversations like as a result of that.
Yeah, I think sometimes I feel like that's you having to get over your own ego of not knowing. And it's a level of understanding of sort of about yourself that you should have.
Ask questions. You're right.
That's ask questions. One.
So the follow-up
science.
Follow-up question, though, to that question is, how do you politely escape or decline the long pitch, the people that seem to not need to inhale?
Right. Good question.
That's a great question.
My server's down.
Yeah,
my server's down. My glass is empty.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because you don't want to be rude, but then...
Right. That's the... You don't want to be rude, but then it's like you're pulling out your phone while they're talking, which is also being kind of douchey, because then your phone is telling you
you're ignoring the... Yeah.
Like I said, I don't have the answer. I was hoping for some wisdom.
Yeah, I think, I mean, being polite and straightforward in some cases, without insulting them and saying, you know, if the idea is stupid or sounds stupid and you say that to them, you know, that's kind of a douchey thing to say. But finding a way to say, you know, that sounds like a great idea. Actually, that's kind of outside the realm of my interest, or if they're trying to pitch you on something to get you involved, say, well, actually, you know, my time is kind of booked up with Project X, Y, and Z. Oh, let me tell you about Project X, Y, and Z, and kind of shifting it away from that can be helpful.
Yeah, the alternate approach is to say, you know, I don't like your idea, but here's what I don't like about it. And that opens up a conversation rather than a dismissal. So, And alternately, I like your idea in these bits, and let's add these five things and start a company. That could work too.
And a new thing we're seeing a lot more now are just the demos on iPhones and Android phones. I mean, like, they're demoing their app and they want to corner you. Yeah. And I don't know if this is really a place for it unless you're really specifically interested in that, because, you know, I mean, that's it happened last night, although it ended up being this global thing. Yeah. So he said it was a really short demo. Like, no, they're never short. And like, it was.
Yeah, I can definitely say something I've been guilty of. You know, I do a lot of photography work, and I think the trapping your friends in your house and showing them the slideshow of your vacation photos is the same thing as trapping someone in a club and showing them your photos on your iPhone. So that's probably not a good
idea.
I've
seen a lot of pictures of dogs.
Yeah, too many cats, dogs, babies.
This week.
So yeah, so if you're pitching something here, you probably already do, but you should have your 30-second pitch. So, you know, a lot of times if you give them a minute or so and say, you know, give them that time, and if they don't have it down by then, it's kind of like, I mean, what's going on? Or if they pull up the app out right away and you're showing an app without having your 30-second pitch, then maybe you want to, like, think about what you're pitching.
So what you're getting at is unwanted repetition is one of those things that can be really aggravating.
Yeah.
So if you have a name like mine, where people have been coming up to me since 1968 and saying, oh, Glenn Campbell, are you the Lifetime Cowboy?
Well, sir, you and I have solidarity. My name is John Adams. And when the HBO series came on, my life was sucking.
My last name is Osborne, so I get it too.
So how do you avoid becoming a serial killer?
I just keep getting accused of being a president.
He hides the bodies well.
Yeah, you don't have that problem.
No, I have no idea.
There is another Ed Hunsinger who's a Notre Dame football player in the 50s, I think, or something.
Oh, you're safe.
I'm still working on getting him out of my Google search results.
Right.
Yeah. Pushing him down.
I think we're almost out of time.
Nope.
Yeah, almost.
We got time for one or two more. If anybody has any questions
do we want to say any more like advice, general advice, or like so resources. Plancast is really good as far as aggregating events, and also Lanyard, LANR. Oh wait,
there's no vowels
in .com.
LANRYD.
No Vanna White, no vowels.
Anyway, that's a really great resource for lots of conferences, but especially this one because there's so much information to parse, not only all the panels at the parties, and then there's all the other stuff too that happens that's not officially part.
Yeah. Skedge is another one.
Skedge is
good for finding events.
And then there's the South By app as well too.
Yeah, the South By app this year is very good.
And make your own parties.
Yeah.
So if you make your own party, you can avoid the douchebags.
So this is one thing I've been doing for years, right? There's all these. One year there was the Google party, and people wanted to go to it, and there was this huge line. And you're like, you know, I heard that the Alta Vista party is so much better. and so we went to Ginger Man, and we literally just said, hey, we're at the Alta Vista party. And people started showing up. They're like, is it still in business? I can't
And that was nice one.
That wasn't, you know, that we were doing it on Twitter back then. We could probably do that on Foursquare and Gowalla. But, you know, maybe with a group of friends, go defect to a bar that's not crowded, and then have your friends come, and you know, and that you'll see a lot of that, and you know.
I think I want to end this on a Bill and Ted quote. Actually, just be excellent to each other.
Yes, definitely.
Seriously.
Right. Yeah, and be nice to the guys that you
party
see
on.
In wedding dresses
yeah,
Saturday
party
night.
Party on.
It's with this guy.
That's the other thing. I'm thinking of.
That's Wayne's World.
It's all.
Nice going.
All right. Well, I guess if there are any other questions, last chance. Thank you guys for coming and enjoy South By.
Have a great time. It's going to be awesome.